I thank you, Father God, for those that are watching by way of the internet. And Father, I pray that all ears will be open to hear your word and hearts open to receive your word, thus having their lives changed because of your word. Father, I recognize and I honor your presence here in this sanctuary among us here today. Hallelujah. And may we reverence you. Hallelujah. Yes. May we reverence you by hearing your word, giving you our attention. Hallelujah. And we know that our lives will be the better for it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Turn, first of all, in your Bibles to the Second Corinthians, the third chapter. Second Corinthians, the third chapter. I'll begin reading at verse 1. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, but it's not just to the Corinthians, it's to us too, right? Amen. But it begins at verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Now listen at what's being said here. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known, pay attention now, known and read by all men. Let me read verse 2 again. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Verse 3. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Hallelujah. We are letters, epistles that are read by mankind. Hallelujah. Our lives are like a letter that is to be read. I think probably all of us maybe have read a book, a part of a book. Sometime you grab a book and you read it and you find that this is not a good book. I don't like the contents. I don't like what I'm reading. I don't like what I'm seeing. And you will put it aside. But on the other hand, you find a good book and you want to read it from cover to cover. And then sometimes you'll go back and reread it. Amen. I just want you to know that our lives as believers are letters read by the world, and not just the world, but by other believers as well. Is there another amen out here somewhere? Praise God. Another way of saying it is, we are supposed to be God's living example of what He wants. We are supposed to be the living examples of His will. Are you still with me? Now, having said that, I want you to go to the 5th chapter, verse. Let me see what verse I want to read here. I'll just begin reading at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "Now all things of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us what? He has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Hallelujah. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Are the cameras on? I want the verse 18 in the Amplified. Put it on the screen for me, please. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "All things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to Himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with Himself." Now listen at the rest of this. "And gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word," are you with me now? "That by word," that's what we speak, what we say, "that by word and what?
Deed.
That by word and deed we might aim to do what? To bring others into harmony with Him." Matter of fact, I'll just stop at that verse for now. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, I'm not going there, but I want to say this to you. In 1 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter, the Bible talks about the last days. It talks about, in that 4th chapter, 1 Thessalonians, it talks about the catching away of the saints. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart that we are living in the last days. Matter of fact, we're living in the last of the last days. You've heard me say that before. We're living in the last of the last days, and Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. Amen. Now, if you are a born again believer, the loving God, you should be excited about that. Now, I understand that we also should have a heart for the lost. Amen. I don't want anybody to miss the catching away of the church. I don't want anybody to miss it. Praise God. But the fact of the matter is, he's coming. Because he said he was. Now, if you go on over into chapter 5, and I'm, matter of fact, go ahead and turn to chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. And in that very, very first verse, it says, but concerning the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves, this is verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible, by the way, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And let me read on a little further. For when they say, now I want to stop right there just a moment. And you see how all this fits in. But verse 3 says, begins with, for when they say, who is they? I believe he's talking about the world. Or backslidden Christians who are out of fellowship with God. They don't know what's going on. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But now look at verse 4. But you, brethren, you see that? But you, brethren, are not where?
In darkness.
Part of my job and every other preacher's job is to do our best to get the lost saved, because if you're not saved, you walking in darkness. Amen. Matter of fact, we were called darkness. But not only to reach out to the lost, but part of my job and every other preacher's job is to get the believers that's walking in darkness, get them back into the light. You're still here. Verse 4 again, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You, verse 5, you are all the sons of light. And this includes the female gender too. So sons or daughters, if you're born again, walking with God, living by his word, you are a child of light. So you are sons of the light, of light, and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us do what? Watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. My subject to you today is called to be a living example. Called to be a living example. Brothers and sisters, the world need good, godly examples before them today. We shouldn't try to win a popularity contest. Because if you love Jesus, there are going to be some other folks that don't like you. But you got to rest in this one powerful thing. Whether anybody likes you or not, God loves you. God loves you. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah. So stop trying to be popular with the world and walk with God. Because we are living in the last days and there's a job for us to do. All right, I want to move on. Drop down. We're still in First Thessalonians. But I want you to drop down to verse 14. This is chapter 5 now, 1 Thessalonians. Listen to what it says. If we're going to be a living example, we need to pay close attention to these instructions. Verse 14 says, now we exhort you, brethren. Are you ready for this? Warn those who are unruly. You see that? Warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. And be patient with all. If you are going to minister, if you are going to serve, you're going to have to do these things. We're going to keep each other encouraged. We're going to have to help the weak. Amen. And don't be afraid to tell them the truth. But you tell them the truth in love. Amen. What, 2 weeks ago now? We celebrated my birthday. Pastor friend of ours, some those of you that was here remember this. He shared with you a little bit about our relationship over the years and so forth. One of the brothers that we work with, he shared that I had given him a gospel tract. Now, this was way back in the 70s, okay? It's been a while back. But I had given him a gospel tract. And I told him, you know, if he didn't get saved, he'd go into hell. Well, glory to God, he's saved today. And he's a preacher of the gospel. Hallelujah. Now, I would have said the same thing today. But I'm a little smoother now than I was back then. You know, I just straight out tell you, you know, listen, you know, you're going to hell. Kind of sound a little bit like Melvin. Melvin would let you know, man, you ain't saved, you're going to hell. Amen, Melvin?
Amen.
But I've mellowed just a little bit, but in my presentation, but I'll never compromise the gospel. I'm not going to do that. And we are not to do that either. We are to let people know, listen, this world we're living in, this is not it. You're just passing through. You're just passing through. There is an eternity beyond where we are right now. And that's what we need to be prepared for. Eternity. But not only that, we are to strengthen one another. Matter of fact, I want to save some time. Give me Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 on the screen, please. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. I want to read it to you. Hallelujah. Galatians 6, 1. All right. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, what are we to do? Okay, stop right there. Stop at gentleness. I want you to see something. Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. God's given us that ministry to help one another, to build each other up. If a brother or a sister is hurting in an area or in a backslid condition, we need to let them know about it. And do whatever we can do to help them in love. Let them know we love them. And sometimes you have to use tough love. Sometimes for some folks, that's what it takes to get them to listen to you. Jesus Christ is our example. That's the reason a lot of folk didn't like him, because he'd tell them the truth, but he would tell them in love. He would tell them in love. Amen. So if a brother or sister is overtaken in any trespass, part of our ministry, part of our service to God is to help them get back on track if they will listen to us. You still with me? Amen. Now, let's finish it. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Matter of fact, I want to read verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Listen to this. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. You see that? Let me read it to you again. I want you to get it. Verse 15 again. See that no man renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. We are not to have the "I'm going to get you back" mentality. Yes, Pastor, but you don't understand my situation. You don't know what I have to deal with. You don't know what he's like. You don't know what she's like. Well, I tell you one thing. Let's do what Jesus said. Number one, love them. Number two, pray for them. Why do you think Jesus would tell us to pray for those who despitefully use us if he wasn't going to do something about the situation? Think about that a moment. Now, it may not happen the way you think it's going to happen, but we're told to pray even for those that despitefully use us. Because let me tell you something. Are you ready for this? When you, as a child of God, when you open your mouth to present someone who may hate God, who may hate you and hate God, when you open your mouth to present them before God, that gives God an open door to come in and begin to deal with them. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Well, you know, I just don't want to pray for them because I don't. Wait a minute. Let's look again at Jesus. He was hanging on the cross with nails in his hand, a crown of thorns on his head, nails in his hands and his feet, having been pierced in his side, spilling out his blood. And what did he say? Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Wouldn't it be amazing when we get to heaven, when we get before the Lord, and we see some of the same men that nailed him to the cross? Because you have to understand, Jesus died for them too. The very people that crucified him, he died for them. He even died for Judas. Chosen Judas to be one of his disciples. But Judas was greedy. He thought about himself. I'll let you in on something else. Because Judas didn't repent, the Bible says the devil entered him. And he went and brought the soldiers to Jesus. And you know the rest of the story. He later on committed suicide himself. We are the light of the world. God wants us to shine. And sometimes I, during my study time and my prayer time and maybe just meditating, you know, I think, Lord, why are you having me say this so often? Well, evidently somebody's not getting it. Not everybody, but somebody's not getting it. And God loves you. God loves us. And God wants to bless our lives. God wants to use us for his glory. If you are breathing right now, raise your hand. Now, if you're not, if you don't raise your hand, I might have to have Doc to come over and check you out. So if you're breathing, raise your hand. All right. Thank you. God's not done with you yet. Because you're still breathing. He's not done with you yet. I got to move on. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're told, listen, help those that are weak and don't get caught up in their sins. And don't have a I'm going to get even with you type attitude, because that's not Christ-like. You still here? I said that's not Christ-like. We are to pray for them. Hallelujah. Now these are instructions for us in the last days. Again, encourage each other, help each other, care about those that are weak. Don't render evil for evil. Read verse 16. Read it loud. Come on, real loud. Rejoice what? Hallelujah. Rejoice always. What does always mean? Every day, every hour, every second, we are to rejoice. Amen. I said, we are to rejoice. Amen. Keep your joy. Keep your joy. Don't allow the devil to steal your joy. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Give it to me real quick. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I want you to see something here. On the screen, Philippians 4, 4. Hallelujah. All right, while they're getting it, I'll turn back here and read it. Oh, here we go. There it is again. Rejoice in the Lord. How long?
Always.
Do what?
Always.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what?
Rejoice.
One of the secrets to our success as a believer, as a child of God, is that we rejoice. Walk in the joy of the Lord. Live in the joy of the Lord. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everything okay over here? Okay? All right. Praise the name of the Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the Philippian church because he understood how the devil works, how it is to live in the world, this world that we're living in. Jesus prayed to the Father, and I've quoted this many times. He said, Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. And one of the ways to do that is to rejoice. Whatever situation you're in, you rejoice. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then we're told in verse 17, pray without ceasing. pray without ceasing, which means never stop praying, or as the Amplified Classic says it, persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer. Amen. Amen. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. That means in good times, you thank God for your blessings. Amen. Are you listening to me? In good times, you give God thanks. You thank Him for your blessings. In tough times, you thank Him for your victory. Are you still here? I say in tough times, you thank Him for your victory. Amen. Now, if you would do those things, and I want to encourage you to go back in your private study time and read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 through 18 especially. Because at the end of verse 18, listen at what it says. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Not just verse 18, everything we just read is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I remember, I think I've shared this before. When I was in the service, the Lord led me out of the service, and I know why, because He was leading me into the ministry. But there was a promotion that I wanted. And I felt like I was very close to getting this promotion, but I missed it. I missed the promotion. And I was really hurt, because I said, Lord, I wanted to make this promotion because it would mean more money for Kathy and me. And the Lord is so good, y'all. Amen. He is so good. I always carried a little New Testament in my pocket. And I remember that morning, I was kind of down, and I was working on, it was during the winter, and I was working on the heater. I was a mechanic. Electrician, mechanic type thing. We worked on the equipment that supported the aircraft. We didn't work on the aircraft themselves, but we kept the equipment going that supported the aircraft. Electric generators, air compressors, heaters, all that stuff. And I remember I was working on a heater. And I was sitting there working on this heater, and the Lord just prompted me. Listen to this, because this will help somebody. The Lord prompted me to just grab my little New Testament, open it up. And when I did, I opened it up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Because I was questioning the Lord. Lord, I'm your child. Why didn't I get this promotion? And when I opened it up, this is what jumped out at me. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, which was me. And I knew in my heart, God was speaking to me. My spirit bore witness I didn't need a promotion because I was getting out of the service. I was separating from the service. That's what God wanted for me. Not everybody. That's what he wanted for me. Because he was preparing me for something else. And I was told I was crazy for getting out of service. I shouldn't get out of service, man. You're going to starve. You know, one sergeant used to tease me all the time. He would walk by and he would do this and smile at me. What he was saying is, you're getting out of service, you know, the only job you're going to have is sweeping floors. Well, if I had to sweep floors, I'd do that, support my wife and my family. But God is good, isn't he? I got out of service, and I'm not saying it was always easy, because it was not. But God provided for us. Amen. God provided for us. And then he had me do the same thing again, but this time it was from my job. You heard the pastor talk about it 2 weeks ago. I told him that I was quitting. God had directed me to resign. I gave them my resignation from the job that I had at that time. God had instructed me to go into the ministry full time. Those folk thought I was crazy. And if I had been someone other than myself, I'd have probably thought I was crazy too. Because it didn't make sense. And when I share this testimony, if God's calling you into ministry, I'm not telling you to leave your job. You better hear from God, because you may starve. You listening to me? You very well might starve. But I knew I heard from God, and I obeyed that. Hallelujah. And God has been faithful to us. Didn't have to lie, cheat, or steal. Just trust God and walk in his word and obey what he's called me to do, because he had called me just like he called you, not necessarily pastoral ministry, but he's called us all to live, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 through 18, to be an example to the lost, to present them an answer. Folks, people need answers. If you don't believe it, turn your TV on. There's a bunch of nuts on there. They don't know if they're going or coming. They need an answer. Jesus is that answer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But there's a time coming when all this will be over, because Jesus told us to work while it's day, because when the night comes, no man can work. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. So be a good example to those on the outside. Let them see Christ in you, in the way you live, the way you act, the way you talk, in every way. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. We can at least honor him by helping someone else. I don't want to go to heaven without having helped somebody. Amen.
Amen.
I want to go to heaven. You understand what I'm saying? But I want to take somebody with me. I want to take somebody with me. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. May we be that light you've called us to be.